It's kind of funny the way the world celebrates Christmas. If you think back just a few months ago, maybe you remember noticing how people rush in to Christmas. How maybe even before the Halloween candy was eaten, there were Christmas displays in the stores and popping up all over the place. And while some people waited until Thanksgiving was done, right at that point then, it suddenly became Christmas. Or the Christmas season, or some sort of holiday season of celebration, depending on where exactly you looked, where exactly you turned. People just rushed into Christmas. It can't come soon enough. And then Christmas comes. And pretty much the moment that December 25th is over, the world rushes right past Christmas as well. And the radio stations that were playing Christmas music go right back to playing their standard fare. And the lights start coming down and getting turned off. And the trees come down and get packed away. And the decorations do the same. The stores where all those Christmas displays were popping up so early in the year, well, they put all their Christmas stuff on sale and try to get ready for the next big sale that's coming one of these days. The world rushes into Christmas, and then the world rushes right out of it again. The church tries to handle it a little bit differently. For a full season of Advent, the church waits and prepares. It reserves and it holds back its biggest celebrations. And this year is case in point for that, because on the morning of December 24th, we still had Advent services going on the same day that we were later going to celebrate Christmas Eve. The church takes its time getting to Christmas. And then when Christmas comes, it doesn't rush right past it. The church stops and savors. The church revels in Christmas. And we celebrate Christmas Eve, and we celebrate Christmas Day, and we celebrate a Sunday after Christmas, and sometimes there's two Sundays after Christmas. And even Epiphany, which we're going to celebrate 1 week from today, it's like another Christmas. Because we're still looking at this little baby and rejoicing that he is the Savior of the world. So today, whether you've put your Christmas decorations away or not, whether or not you're still celebrating Christmas with gatherings and gifts, I want to encourage you to keep celebrating Christmas. Keep celebrating what you know about the true meaning and the real reason for this holiday. Be like the people we meet in our lesson from Luke's gospel today. Like Simeon and like Anna. Our gospel for this first Sunday after Christmas, we heard it read earlier. It tells us about events that took place 40 days after Jesus was born. Jesus' earthly parents had already had him circumcised according to the requirements of the law. And at 40 days after the birth of a son, the Israelite mother was instructed to visit the temple and to offer sacrifices for purification. The firstborn son was also to be consecrated to the Lord. So these were the matters that brought Mary and Joseph and Jesus to the temple that day. Now while they were there, they met two unique individuals. Both were believers who were eagerly awaiting the Savior. They were waiting for God to keep the promises that He had made. The first one we meet is Simeon. God had specially revealed to Simeon that Simeon would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And God kept His promise to him. Now, we're not told how old Simeon was at that time, though many have gotten the impression, and maybe you do too, that he was perhaps quite old. He had this promise that he wouldn't die until he saw the Savior, but maybe he otherwise was getting close to that time. What we are told, what Scripture makes clear, is that the Holy Spirit made sure that Simeon was in the temple on this very day. The day when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to that same temple. It wasn't by chance that Simeon saw this family. So then he took Jesus in his arms and he sang a song of praise. And that song of praise may sound very familiar to you. That's one that we've regularly repeated. Simeon's song of praise gets used in our worship services after communion in many cases. It's also used in some of our evening services at the very end of the evening services. And Simeon not only praised and thanked God for allowing him to see the Savior that God had promised, but he also sang about that Savior, about this special boy, about the promised one whom God would use to reveal God to Jews and to Gentiles alike, through whom God was bringing salvation. And Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon said and what Simeon sang. And then Simeon went on to say even more. He told them how Jesus would cause the rising and the falling of many. And he would cause a piercing of Mary's soul as well. And then Luke wraps up the visit with Simeon and immediately introduces another visit. And this visitor is Anna, who's called a prophet. We know her exact age. She was 84. And for much of her life, she had lived as a widow. And at this point, she spent her time constantly in the temple. And that day she came to the family, gave thanks to God. And we don't know her exact words like we know Simeon's words. But she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now obviously, Simeon and Anna have a lot in common with each other. They were both eagerly waiting and anticipating the one whom God had promised to send. They were both in the temple on that special day, so they both had this opportunity to meet a very special child who at this point was just a little bit over a month old. They both spoke their praises to God, and they both shared with others the good news about this child. Or to put it another way, they both understood the significance of Christmas. That salvation had come down to earth. What Simeon and Anna saw with their own eyes and even held in their own arms, we have only seen by faith. Or as our first hymn put it, we have held in our arms by faith. Just like we didn't visit the manger with the shepherds in person, neither have we seen Jesus in the temple as a little baby the way that Simeon and Anna had that opportunity. but we get to hear their testimony. It rings out for us. And we're still encouraged by the example that they set. And by their example, we're told to keep celebrating Christmas. See, this activity, what went on in the temple on that day, reminds us of some very important truths. Jesus coming into the world had been predicted, and it had been promised. This is inescapable, and so there were people waiting, eagerly, even anxiously waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. Certain people, like Simeon, even had unique and special promises and assurances, but God didn't hide this big promise from anyone. He wanted the world to know. Of course, not everyone reacted to those promises and those proclamations in the same way. While Simeon and Anna were eagerly waiting for the Savior to come, how many other people do you suppose were in the temple that day? How many of them were just as eagerly waiting for the Savior to come? How many of them really understood what those promises meant for them? Oh, certainly, we would expect there were some people there that day who would have joined with Anna, would have joined with Simeon in praising God if they had seen the baby Jesus, if they had recognized who he was. But when we step back and we think about the full context of what we know about Israel at that time, we probably realize that there weren't many people who would have done this. There were likely not many who realized the depth of their sinfulness and acknowledged that they needed a Savior to rescue them from that sin. There were likely not many who would have looked at this little baby and possibly believed that he was the Savior that they needed. But that's the key. That's the key reason that Christmas has a real impact on the lives of people like you and people like me. Simeon was a sinner. What abundant grace of God that he would give Simeon this promise. You are going to see the Savior with your own eyes. And Anna was a sinner. What abundant grace of God that she would be given that very same privilege to see him and hold him. See, that's what we have in common with these believers who lived so long ago. Each and every one of us has failed and fallen. We are sinners who were conceived in sin and born in sin and raised in sin. We've lived in sin our entire lives. But God has not only sent a Savior, your Savior, into the world. He's also made sure that you have seen him. I know, not with your physical eyes, but that you have heard this message. Many of us gathered together to hear that message from the mouths of children who had worked hard to share that message just 3 weeks ago. Many of us gathered just 1 week ago to hear again about this message, to sing together about what happened on a silent night. And then we came back the next day to sing joy to the world. This child is special. And so Simeon and Anna reacted and responded. And look at how they acted. Look at how they responded. They didn't say, hey, look at me. I must be really special because God let me see the Messiah. Hey, look at me. Other people don't recognize who this baby is, but I do. Look at how wonderful I am, how intelligent I am, how smart I am. They didn't pat themselves on the back. They praised God. They talked about what He was doing, that He was sending salvation for people. They talked about how He was sending salvation to them, that they were just like all those people all around them who were absolutely dependent on God and on His grace and mercy. But they had it. They had it in this little child, Jesus. And this is God's grace to you, that you can look at this baby, at baby Jesus, and realize that He is the one whom God promised to send to take away your sins. That purely by His grace, God sent His Son to live for you and to die for you and to live again. This is a miracle. That God says to you, look in the manger and look in the arms of Mary and see your salvation there. And this is a miracle that you hear those words and you believe it. Because God has led you to believe it. And not just to believe it, but to depend on it. And to celebrate it. So while the world packs away Christmas for a whole nother year, let's linger just a little bit longer. Let's look at that child and think about what He's going to become and what He's going to do. Think about that strokes that will pierce His mother's soul. And think about how those strokes should pierce our own souls as well. He's going to suffer for wrongs that He didn't do and for crimes that He didn't commit. He's going to be abandoned by close friends, betrayed by His own follower. He's going to cause falling and rising because not everyone's going to realize the truth about Him. He is going to die. And then He's going to rise again to live and to reign forever. And all we can do is shout His praise and sing His praise and say, Lord, thank You for showing me my salvation. Help me to celebrate it every single day. Help me to share it with others. Help me to celebrate Christmas and to keep celebrating forever. Amen.